And we were so blessed with your piano playing, Jeremy. Thank you very much. And I'm going to, I'll pocket the mask. Thanks, too, for the reading with the candles. Appreciate that. It's always relaxing, comforting, isn't it, Frank, when the lighter actually works, you know? Was it last Sunday in our church, somebody could not get that thing to work. But the first candle was lit, and so they just picked up the candle and lit it from the other one. You know, there's always a way to do it and make it work. And thanks, too, for your prayers for our family down south. 3 weeks ago, we told you about the situation there with our niece's husband passing away. They were able to have a funeral a week ago Friday, and a lot of community people came. They heard the gospel. The daughter we asked you specifically to pray about was there, and she asked if she could carry her daddy to the graveside. And some of the family had opportunity to talk to her about her need to accept God's love in her life. So just thank you for praying. We're still waiting to see what God does with that. But we just appreciate your prayers for us and them. We know someone who is counseling children with health issues, and she indicated that 2 years ago, 80% of her clients were dealing with physical issues and 20% were dealing with emotional, mental issues. A month ago, she said the statistics switched completely. 80% of the children she works with have mental, emotional issues. 20% have physical issues. And she works with children 6 years of age and younger. That is so overwhelming to me, to think that the stress of our world is impacting even the little ones in our lives. But it's not just little ones. CBC Radio indicated this week on their morning show that we listened to, in the past 2 years, most of the population has struggled with low to medium grade anxiety. And just this morning, our prime minister was quoted as saying, "Our people are struggling with fatigue, frustration, and fear." All the F words. They're there. We hurt. This thing just drags on and we feel the weight of it, don't we? And the Greek word for peace, though, is Irene, from which we get my wife's middle name, Irene. And it comes from the root word aero, which means to join together. Peace means to tie together as a whole, or when all essential parts are joined together. Peace comes when all the loose ends of life are pulled together. Peace is the opposite of anxiety and fear and frustration and fatigue, when we get all the loose ends pulled together. And oh, how we need peace on earth. The Christmas story has lots to say about peace, and the angel Gabriel plays a significant part. I was really excited to see the connection that our candlelighting has between angels and peace, because Gabriel himself introduced himself to Zechariah saying, "I'm Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." As we remember 3 weeks ago, the Old Testament passage we looked at, Gabriel showed up there in answer to Daniel's prayer, and he came and he gave Daniel insight and understanding. In that encounter, Gabriel was pointing ahead to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, and the Anointed One. And every time Gabriel is mentioned in our Bibles, and especially when he's mentioned by name, he has a specific message from God for a specific person on earth about a specific person, Jesus. Every time Gabriel shows up, he's got a message from God for somebody down here about Jesus. That's exciting to me. Let's look at this path of peace that brings us to Zechariah. There were 18,000 priests in Israel at the time of the birth of Jesus, divided into a number of smaller groups. Each group was 350, and of those 350, five were chosen to go to the temple with jobs to do. They only had 2 weeks to fulfill their job, and then it was some other group's turn to draw and so on, to take a turn there. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Zechariah. Of those five priests that were chosen for the two-week term, three of them fixed up the lampstand and put new bread on the table of holy bread, the show bread, and two offered incense on the incense altar morning and evening, twilight and morning. Incense in the Bible always symbolizes prayer, and the priest's job each morning and evening was to offer prayers on behalf of the nation of Israel. I suspect he had some prescribed prayers that he followed, but he was also, I think, able to bring personal requests there. So it was really exciting when Zechariah's name got chosen to go, and then he got assigned the job of the altar of incense, be able to go there and pray. One of Zechariah's morning and evening shifts at the altar, suddenly the angel of Gabriel showed up.
Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people."
Thank you, angel from above. Obviously, Zechariah had prayed for a child. He and his wife had tried for years, but Elizabeth was barren. There was a social stigma attached to barrenness in those days, and it was getting to them. They had no peace in that area of their lives. Barren women were considered under God's judgment or wrath for some reason, and were frequently alienated and mocked. I'm sure they were very excited that Zechariah, who was now pushing 50 years of age, got to go to Jerusalem to offer incense and actually ask God directly from the holy place for a baby. What an honor to be able to go right there. But as is so often the case, God doesn't just answer our prayers But he fits his answer to our prayers into his big picture plan. He always has something bigger in mind than our little close nearsightedness. This would be no ordinary John Boy. He was chosen by God to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And if we skip to the end of the chapter to Zacharias' song after his son's birth, we read, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to guide our feet into the path of peace." There's that word peace again. Gabriel brought good news to Zechariah and Elizabeth, but fantastic news to the nation of Israel. Whenever a Roman emperor was going to travel to some other part of that great Roman Empire, roads were rebuilt or constructed from scratch to make the way as smooth as possible for the king. And God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way, the path, for King Jesus. However, Zechariah was a little slow to accept God's peace in this situation and to let it rule in his heart. And he found it hard to trust God. So God gave him a 9-month intermission of silence to practice learning to trust. I've had those times, and especially regarding my voice, when God removed it for a while. So I learned to trust that he can say the right thing to the right people at the right time without me. He's quite capable of doing that. Are you and I sometimes slow to trust when we can't figure things out? Then there's Mary. 6 months later, Gabriel is sent to earth on his second mission, this time to a 14 to 16-year-old recently engaged young lady. I got too excited. Gabriel was sent to Nazareth to Mary. Excited about marrying Joseph and doing everything above board to prepare for their big day, all she was waiting for was Joseph to get their home ready. And then they could get married and she could move in with him. And he already had a trade and was working hard to prepare for their big day as well. Mary and Joseph were looking forward to the Messiah, Israel's consolation, just like Simeon, we talked about a few weeks ago, and the redemption of Jerusalem, just like Anna. They knew their Old Testament scrolls and expected the Messiah's coming to rescue Israel from the Romans. It is entirely possible that the news about Zechariah's inability to speak and why spread like wildfire. Everyone knew that God's clock was beginning to strike a new significant hour, and they all wanted peace. Enter Gabriel again. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Me? Why me? Pregnant with God's son? What will people think? Me? The mother of the long-awaited Messiah? What will Joseph think, or say, or do? Mary pondered these things in her heart, but didn't let her unanswered questions keep her from saying yes to God. Like Zechariah, she also had a how question, but with Gabriel's explanation, Mary settled into trusting God. We know she experienced God's peace in this unusual situation because she burst into a song of praise. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. To have a Savior meant peace with God was now possible. The Savior was coming, and he would pull these loose strings together, pull these things together, so that God and man could be reconciled, put back together. Are we as quick as Mary to say yes when God interrupts our plans, when he wants to use us to fulfill his big plan? Then Joseph. We now flip through three more calendar months to the third appearance of Gabriel, this time to Joseph in a dream. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph had troubled, confused heart and mind. Mary had told him Gabriel's message, and he knew it was true. It seems that Mary left for Elizabeth's home in the hills of Judea immediately after Gabriel had spoken to her. And so she was gone for 3 months and no doubt was showing by the time she got back to Nazareth. Joseph needed to know straight from her mouth, and hopefully they could work out some way to preserve their respect in the community. Joseph really struggled over this matter and could see no other way than to quietly divorce Mary. Do we ever struggle with God's word or God's ways when obeying God won't make us popular? Enter Gabriel. Once again, God's messenger showed up at just the right time. This time, his message from God provided Joseph with the peace of God in a delicate situation. Gabriel had communicated that Joseph fit into God's big plan. He taught him where Mary fit into the big plan. And then he communicated that this Jesus who would be born was God's big plan. and each of them had a part. And Joseph responded immediately by taking Mary into his home as his wife, by accepting pregnant Mary into his life, into his home. He was accepting God the Savior into his life. Joseph trusted the sovereignty of God, and the peace of God finally settled in. John was used to prepare the way for Jesus. Mary was used to bring Jesus into our world. And Joseph was used to provide a place. I'm so glad these three people let the peace of God rule in their hearts. Dear people, our decision to let God in our lives and to influence us and use us always affects other people. It always does. There had been 400 years of silence since God has spoken to his people on earth through a prophet. And, and 400 years had slipped by since the decree to restore the nation of Israel. But the fullness of time had come. The king was coming and the path of peace was being prepared. So God used feeble Zechariah and Elizabeth to bring John the Baptist into the world to prepare this path to peace. We have two senior Christian friends living in an independent living facility. And let's call them Mrs. Speak What's On Your Mind and Mrs. Don't Tell Me What To Do. The management had planned a cookie baking opportunity, and both ladies attended. Mrs. Don't Tell Me What To Do made a comment, and Mrs. Speak Your Mind responded. Mrs. Don't Tell Me stomped off to her room, saying she would never speak to Speak Your Mind ever again. We managed to hear both sides of this story a few weeks ago, but this past Wednesday, Mrs. Speak Your Mind listened to God. She'd heard that Don't Tell Me What To Do was overwhelmed with a huge project she couldn't finish. So Mrs. Speak Your Mind volunteered to help Mrs. Don't Tell Me What To Do so that she could meet her deadline. She listened to God, and peace settled into the relationship. Peace doesn't come without a struggle, but it's always worth it, worth the effort, but it takes humility to bring about that kind. Somebody had to humble themselves before the other. That's the path to peace. Now, peace with God, maybe you have no peace because you haven't invited God into your life permanently to manage your life. Perhaps this Christmas, if you've never done so before, this would be a really good Christmas to invite Jesus into your heart and life and simply say like Mary, I am your servant, here I am. Be it unto me as you wish. In John 1, we read, he came to his own and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. First and foremost, Jesus came to make peace between God and independent human beings. And while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, Romans 5. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and took God's wrath on our behalf, so that we wouldn't be turned away from God when we come to Him. This puts us on the path to peace and provides forgiveness. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps this Christmas, you find yourself in a difficult situation where it doesn't seem to matter which way you turn or how you handle it or what you do with it. It doesn't make any human sense. There are no easy answers to the questions you're struggling with. You want to do the right thing like Joseph, but if you do, people are going to get hurt, or people who are close to you won't understand. Oh, how we pray you will experience Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And suddenly you will experience the peace of God and know what you are to do with your hands and with your home and with your finances and with your relationships, with your skills and abilities. The peace of God flooded Joseph when he heard and accepted God's plan for him in the big scheme of things. That peace enabled Joseph to continue with the project of getting that home ready for Mary and the baby. It's only after we first make our peace with God that we can experience the peace of God in everyday situations. In these first three encounters with Gabriel, people were called by name and told their part in God's big plan of redemption. But there are five other times the angel of the Lord shows up in these Christmas passages. And in every place that I'm going to skim through, the angel of the Lord's job is to get the right people in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Very interesting how he goes about this. Then there's the shepherds into Bethlehem. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see these things that this thing has, that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We've stood on the hills outside Bethlehem. We've seen a young shepherd girl taking care of sheep in the daytime. We've seen the stone watering trough by the well where they still pull water up with a pail on a rope. But we can only imagine what it was like that night, dark as can be, when the angel of the Lord appeared, bright, shining angel suddenly shows up in the sky above and speaking their mother tongue says, "Peace be to you." The Bible says 365 times, "Do not be afraid, do not fear." That's one for every day of your year. And here, Gabriel says it again to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Then he told them where to go in the town of Bethlehem to a manger. Then we saw this great multitude, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. On earth peace. Then there's the Magi. In Matthew chapter 2, we read about the visit of the wise men from the east, and after they had found the right place, they bowed in worship, they presented their gifts, and that night, it says, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod through Jerusalem. So they returned to their country by another route. To experience a peaceful journey, they needed to do what they were told when they were told, and they listened to God and took his advice, obeyed it without arguing, and found their way safely home. Are we that quick to obey when he changes our plans? Then there was Joseph to Egypt in Matthew chapter 2. When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And he so fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. The angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream. To protect his newborn, he needed to escape immediately to a safe place. Their journey from Bethlehem south to what was Egyptian-controlled territory outside of the jurisdiction of Herod and across the border to the south was probably a 65-kilometer trip. But they left immediately. They packed and left, and Joseph's response to the message was immediate. He took his little family to a place of safety and peace. When God prompts you through his word or by his spirit to pray for someone or to meet someone's need, do you and I respond that quickly? Or do we think timing isn't that important, is it? It was in this case. And Joseph did what he was told when he was told. Then there's Joseph and to Israel. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. After Herod died in early 4 BC, Joseph had a dream, and in that dream, an angel of the Lord told him it's safe to return to Israel. The family's trip to and from Egypt was a fulfillment of the Bible prophecy made 750 years earlier in Hosea 11:1. Out of Egypt, I've called my son. At the angel's prompting, they began to head north. However, as they approached Judea, they discovered that Herod Archelaus, the eldest surviving son of Herod the Great, was the new ruler in that part of the country, and he was just as mean as his dad, just as tyrannical and cruel. In fact, one time, he sent his entire army to Jerusalem's temple to kill 3,000 men who were suspected of sedition. This guy had a bad heart. Joseph's fears about living in Judea were confirmed when God sent him a warning in a dream. The family continued their travels northward to their hometown of Nazareth in Galilee. Once again, Joseph was guided to a place of peace and safety. Galilee was ruled by another son of Herod the Great. This guy's name was Herod Antipas, and he wasn't quite as mean as his dad and brother. Slightly more tolerant. The trip from Egyptian territory to Nazareth was a long one, 170 kilometers north. Jesus being raised in Nazareth was another fulfillment of another prophecy. So these five times, the angel of the Lord communicated messages from God to get people in the right place at the right time so that the Prince of Peace could fulfill Bible prophecies about himself, and so that the outcome in every case where people followed his direction was peace, joy, and safety. The Prince of Peace has a way of doing that, you know. He can take all of our ordinary and unusual situations. He can take all of our difficult times and our doubts and our fears. He can take all of those difficult times, those tough decisions, and direct us to the path of peace. During this church age, Christ's kingdom grows in the hearts and lives of his followers, you and me. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, sent the Holy Spirit to bear the fruit of peace in our lives, and perhaps you've experienced a peace that passes all human understanding. I remember when Gloria's dad was 102 years old, still living on his own acreage, blind, battling skin cancer, and he needed a new caregiver. Our niece, who had lived with Dad and Mom for years and stayed on after Mom passed away, decided it was time to get married and move on in her life. She was in her late 30s, early 40s. Dad refused to go to a care home. And we were the closest relatives, living an hour away. Gloria had power of attorney and was the personal representative for medical care. What were we to do? Were we to take Dad into our home, if he would come? Were we to go and live with him, leaving our home and my workplace? Was I supposed to learn how to do work remotely? We had no peace about this situation, but the clock kept ticking, and sooner or later a decision had to be made, something had to be done. We finally agreed to ask Dad if he would move out to our place in Three Hills. And between us, we agreed that if he said no, we were willing to move an hour west, move in with Dad, and take care of him. We had no dreams in the night, no appearances of Gabriel, and no Bible verse directed us. We just had to make a decision. So we went and asked Dad. You know his answer? Absolutely not. I'm not moving. So we packed up and we moved out to the acreage. We had no idea when we said, like Mary, here I am, I'm your servant. We had no idea we'd be living out there for 9 months. But we experienced this peace that passes understanding once we were willing to go, and all the time we were there. God sustained us by his peace. Being there wasn't easy, but the peace of God never left us, and we never left there with any regrets. He is the Prince of Peace for individuals. But dear people, he is also the Prince of Peace for the nations of this world. He is the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. His peace has no borders. But let's never forget that he is managing this world on a global level. He is getting the right people into the right positions so he can accomplish his big plan. He raises up leaders and he puts down leaders. It is quite all right to pray Jesus' sample prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It may seem like our world is out of control, dear people, but it's not. The king is coming. A dear friend of mine told me this week, he said, "You can quote me if you want." So I will. The trumpet of the Lord is being polished, and we'll hear its blast any time now, and we'll be raptured out of this mess. End of quote. Daniel's 70th week of 7 years will begin with the Antichrist setting up his kingdom of imitation peace. Our global leaders are presently working toward and striving for peace on earth. At the recent UN Climate Summit, Prince Charles mentioned the need for global leadership, which will align private sectors and the global industries. He mentioned that a world ruler will have all these things, I quote him, at his disposal, end of quote. Because we know what the Bible says about this leader of leaders, we know we are closer than ever to the return of our Lord. Dear people, God will give Antichrist 7 years to try to manage this globe. He will set up one world government, one world currency, one world health organization, and will establish a 7-year peace agreement with Israel, and Antichrist will break that covenant at 3.5 years and will once again attempt to annihilate the nation of Israel. God knows all about this. That's when King Jesus will show up on the Mount of Olives. Unlike his first coming in the air to snatch away believers, Antichrist's attempt to establish peace on this earth without God's help will blow up in his face with a small puff of exhale from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will be the end of that tribulation period. Jesus will establish his kingdom on earth and will reign a reign of peace for 1,000 years. There will be no more war, no more unrest, no more poverty, no more problems with global supply chains, no more injustice, no more discrimination, no more covered up systemic issues. The Prince of Peace will reign and rule planet Earth, and Christ's church will reign and rule with him. Then and only then will there be peace on earth. Our candlelighters read Isaiah's prophecy. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. As the Wonderful Counselor, he can diagnose our problems accurately. As the Mighty God, he has the power to fix our problems in the best way. As the Everlasting Father, he cares deeply about everything that matters to you and me. And as the Prince of Peace, he has the peaceful resolution to our problems and to world problems. People need peace because of inner conflicts. And they need peace because of interpersonal conflicts. And they need peace because of international conflicts. So where do you and I fit into God's big plan? Perhaps God needs you to point people to Jesus like John the Baptist did. Perhaps you are a Mary. Jesus Christ lives in your life, and you are to take him to your circle of influence. Perhaps you are a Joseph, and Jesus needs you to support the body of Christ with your resources of time, talents, and money. Perhaps your calling is simply to be sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit. As you wait on the Lord in prayer, he will direct you to the right place at the right time so you can do the right thing and say the right thing or simply be there so the Prince of Peace can accomplish his eternal purposes through you. You have a significant role to play in God's big plan. So let there be peace on earth, and let it begin in me. Let's pray. God, thank you for sending Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Thank you that he was able to establish peace, a peace agreement with you through his shed blood, so that we can be saved. But thank you that that was just the beginning. You have so much more you want to do in us and through us. Thank you for the peace of God. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding, that does rule in our hearts and lives when we're like Mary and say, here we are, at your disposal, anytime, anywhere, any place. Lord, keep us in that place of surrender. In your name we pray. Amen.